Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yadyasa chandasam lokam arokshan brahma vishtapan gurave vinyasaddeham sajjayatam brihadvrata. Yadhi, if, aso, that student, chandasam, lokam, the Mahaloka planet, arukshan, desiring to ascend to, brahmavishtapam, brahmaloka, Gurave, unto the Guru, Vinyaset, he should offer Deham, his body, Svaadhyaya, of superior Vedic studies, Artham, for the purpose. Brihadvrataha, observing the powerful vow of perpetual celibacy. If the brahmachari student, if the brahmachari student desires to ascend to the Mahaloka or Brahmaloka planets, then he should completely surrender his activities to the spiritual master and, observing the powerful vow of perpetual celibacy, dedicate himself to superior Vedic studies. So now you can respond. If the brahmachari student desires to ascend to the Mahaloka or Brahmaloka planets, then he should completely surrender his activities to the spiritual master. And observing the powerful vow of perpetual celibacy, dedicate himself to superior Vedic studies. Purport. One who desires the supreme perfection of life must engage his body, mind, and words in the service of a bona fide spiritual master. One desiring elevation to superior planets such as Brahmaloka and Mahaloka must fully engage in the spiritual master's service. We can thus imagine the sincerity of purpose and service required to achieve the Krishna Loka planet, which lies far beyond the material universe. So in these verses, Lord Krishna is speaking to Uddhava about the practice of the brahmachari, the student. And of course, in present day, we also have our brahmacharini ashram. And these instructions, as we see also, training for those who enter into the Grihastha ashram as well. Especially for the higher classes, the Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, Brahmanas, they should undergo, you know, brahmachari training in the beginning of their life before entering the ashram of the Grihastha. Upon entering the ashram of the Grihastha, one will see that that brahmachari training is very, very valuable, because for one who is in the Grihastha ashram and is controlled by sex desire, has very little self-control over that matter, that person's Grihastha life becomes hellish. They can have all sorts of difficulties. Those who have training as brahmachari and brahmacharini, and therefore into the Grihastha ashram with control of the mind and senses, and their purpose fixed on attaining the ultimate destination, they are able to utilize the time within the Grihastha ashram with a lot of quality for their spiritual life. With that good training, even though one is in the Grihastha ashram, they are able to have a very full and rich quality of spiritual life. And for them, in fact, they're able to even increase the activities they perform dedicated to spiritual activities to a significant degree, even though they're in the Grihastha ashram, because that training is there. Those who whose training within the as brahmachari, brahmacharini is not sufficient, they may find very quickly upon entering the Grihastha ashram that their spiritual activities reduce significantly. So these instructions, we should not just think that Krishna is speaking just for the brahmachari ashram, and that no one else need to we'll wait to further chapters or when Krishna starts speaking about the rules and what have you for the Grihasthas or what have you. These are very, very important instructions, because actually the Grihasthas are also supposed to be celibate, in the sense that they also follow the same four regulative principles. Actually, there's no change. There's as a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, we actually follow the same regulative principles, and there's no illicit sex. No illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, no eating of meat. That doesn't change. The difference is, of course, that, as Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Grihastha ashram, one can utilize the sex for creating children and raising those children in to be so that they can be successful and happy in this world, and at the end of this life go back to the spiritual world and never have to take birth again in this material world. Krishna says that sex life, where there is no illicit activity, he says, I am that sex life. So that is also following the regulative principles, and that is also a form of celibacy. Here, Krishna is speaking specifically, of course, about the Naishtika Brahmachari, or those who take a vow, as described here, Brihat, very big, great, awesome. They call it Brihat Vrata, observing the powerful vow of perpetual celibacy. So, of course, you know, those who can perform this activity are very, very rare, of course. We see Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was one such brahmachari who, within the entire course of his life, never ever passed semen. That is what we that's what we're discussing here. It was very, very rare. Here, Krishna is saying that those who try to follow this particular great vow, which is very rare, there is an incentive in that one can attain planets such as Mahaloka or Brahmaloka. You will find throughout the Vedic literatures, even in the scriptures dealing with pure devotional service, that these incentives are there, almost material rewards for practicing different aspects which are there within bhakti as well. Now, the bhakti yogi has no interest in going to Mahaloka or Brahmaloka or any of the higher planetary systems. The bhakti yogi has no desire at all except to please and satisfy Lord Sri Krishna. Still, you know, these incentives are there, not so much for the bhakti yogi, but to encourage others to take to the path of devotional service, because they will see that you know, all aspects of devotional service actually produce wonderful results. That even if one is not successful in going back to the spiritual world as a result of practicing bhakti yoga, still there are so many very powerful results from all of the activities of bhakti yoga that, you know, worst case scenario, one may, you know, go to the heavenly planets, or as Krishna states, you know, worst case scenario, one may take birth in the family of transcendentalist devotees. So, you know, these things are guaranteed for the devotee. So incentives are there. So one can understand that even if one is not successful on the path of going back to the spiritual world, still, you know, even if one apparently fails in that mission, there is no loss. In fact, there is wonderful, wonderful gain. Also, we can understand that to the degree that one can become free from the bodily conception of life and the necessities of the body, to that degree one becomes pious. That's another point that can also be taken. We know that attaining the heavenly planets, the higher and higher heavenly planets, means one has to attain higher and higher degrees of piety. So in this way, Krishna is certainly pointing out that celibacy is one of the most powerful aspects of piety, because it means that the general principle of piety is that the closer we get to actually pleasing God, the more pious we are. And the further we are away from pleasing God, the more we tend to be impious. So there are different degrees. The closer that we are to pleasing God means the closer we are to realizing our own spiritual identity, having no concept of identification with the material body. So if we identify with the material body, that gives us more, a sense of separateness from the Supreme Lord. Whereas if we see ourselves in our original position as the eternal servant, a tiny little particle of Krishna's spiritual energy, Tattva Shakti, when we see that, I am a tiny little spiritual particle of Krishna's marginal potency. And because I am a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, I am naturally his eternal servitor. That's my constitutional nature and position. So when we see ourselves in that, then we have the opportunity to please the Lord in that position. And as soon as we somehow or another forget that we are an eternal spirit soul, eternal servant of Krishna, to that degree we lose our ability to serve the Lord, and to that degree we become impious. So celibacy here is of course being discussed as piety, because the more one can actually become free from the bodily concept of life. Free from the bodily concept of life means that whatever necessities that pertain to the body, one has no interest in, because one just doesn't identify with the body at all. And therefore sex life just isn't a question, because sex life is just for the body, has nothing to do with the spirit soul. So the more one actually becomes off the bodily platform of life, the closer one gets to one's spiritual identity, the closer one gets to one's spiritual identity, the more pious one becomes, because the closer one becomes eligible to serve the Supreme Lord. So in this way, we can also see a correlation between, you know, why Krishna is stating that this vow of perpetual celibacy results in attaining even the highest possible planets within the material universe. Question then, or the situation is that everyone in the material world is under the bodily concept of life. And to the degree that we're under the bodily concept of life, to that degree we are trying to fulfill the necessities of the body as if that is the all in all. So that is the situation. Therefore, we see that Srila Prabhupada has, following the Acharyas, they have pointed that the way out of material world is to not become implicated in the activities revolving around the bodily concept of life. And therefore, there are four regulative principles. which is no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, no eating of meat. So if one can actually follow those four regulatory principles, it completely allows one to be aloof from the bodily concept of life. And to the degree that one breaks those regulatory principles, to that degree one again becomes riveted in bodily activities, in bodily consciousness, and the result of bodily consciousness is that we must take another birth. If we take another birth, we must suffer under the hands of Maya. Maya is like the cosmic policeman, a policewoman. So for those who do not want to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just like in the state, any country, anyone who does not want to follow the laws, then immediately the police are there to capture them and to punish them. You must follow the laws. And they're always harassed by the criminal department. But there are many free citizens, and although the police and the criminal department is there, there is no harassment. There is no difficulty. So for those who actually follow these principles, four regular principles, although the material energy is there, although Maya is there, she actually doesn't harass or punish those persons, because they're actually trying to follow the laws of God. They're trying to serve God, and that's actually what the material energy wants. So there's no punishment. Maya has no need to punish someone who's actually following the laws of God. Now, of course, these four regulative principles, it is not possible for people to follow these four regulative principles, especially in Kali Yuga. And Srila Prabhupada said that when he went to America, and he thought to himself that, I will ask these American boys and girls and to follow these four regulative principles, and they will just tell me to go home, go back to India. That's what he thought. And he was very pleasantly surprised when he saw that people who were absorbed day and night in the mad pursuit of breaking all the regulative principles, somehow or another began following the regulative principles. And of course, we can understand that it only becomes possible. It is impossible, but it becomes possible if one follows the process chalked out by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then it is possible. Otherwise, it's not possible. And so generally, if we have some problem, there's some difficulty, some obstacle which is beyond our reach, or some goal beyond our reach, we approach someone. If we want some, if there's some legal impediment and some obstacle, we approach a lawyer. If there's some health issues, we approach a doctor. But if we want to solve the problem of birth, death, old age and disease, the being caught in the grip of Maya, we must approach the Acharya. And the Acharyas, they follow the principles set down by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Lord Sri Krishna, which is there also in Shastra, in the Bhagavad Gita. And those principles are, especially in this age of Kali, that one should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, follow the four regulative principles, dance, take prasadam, and engage in distributing the holy name, teaching people how to do the same. So that is the process, and if one engages in those activities, then factually one can make rapid advancement in Krishna consciousness. So you see that when Srila Prabhupada went to the West and found that everyone, you know, there's that beautiful poem by Srila Prabhupada when he arrived in Boston, wondering how, you know, these people are ever, you know, going to listen, even listen, let alone follow this message. You go up to someone and you say, you know, just forget about sex life. You know, forget about your intoxication. Go up to a druggie, you know, and say, just forget about it. Just don't have any more. You know, you go to, you know, some of the restaurants and say, you know, go down to McDonald's, stand at the door, you know, don't have this, don't eat this anymore, ever. You know, it's a massive task. It's impossible. It's not possible. But we see that those who take up the process that Prabhupada gave, because it is the process of the Acharyas, which is non-different from the Lord's process, that if they chant Hare Krishna all over the world, you see, you know, that thousands, you know, and thousands of people are saying, yes, I'm finished with sex life, I'm finished with intoxication, I'm finished with meat eating, gambling, these things. Of course, certainly because of bad habit, you know, there is, because we've been engaged in these activities of sense gratification for millions and millions and millions of births, what to speak of years, somehow eking out the same pleasure in 8,400,000 different species of life. Just determined that somehow, oh, I haven't, you know, I haven't enjoyed sex life as a dog, as a mouse, as a cockroach. Just determined somehow or another. So therefore, you know, there's bad habit. So sometimes it is seen, and Srila Prabhupada understood that, you know, people will come to Krishna consciousness and their determination is to give up these things. They actually chant Hare Krishna and this powerful desire, you know, enters their heart, and this powerful process allows them to, you know, tread very rapidly on this path back to Godhead. But, you know, there's some bad habit there, and that is also stated by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita that, you know, even if one sometimes commits abominable activities, if one is my devotee, you know, that person is still considered a sadhu. Krishna understands, and Srila Prabhupada will give the example, of course, that when you take to devotional service, it is like pulling out the electrical plug from a fan. So, you know, the force that is pushing these material activities is no longer there. So it's not moving full speed ahead in material activities, it's actually beginning to stop. But the blades, you know, just turn for a little bit until they come to a complete stop. But there's no real force pushing it. It's definitely going to stop. So, but still, you know, even with that, sometimes disturbance from bad habits over millions and millions of lifetimes, still it should be understood that, you know, the devotees who take the Krishna consciousness with the determination to give up these activities of material life and go back to the spiritual world, they are making, you know, their progress is astounding. You know, over millions and millions and millions of lifetimes, and, you know, many in human forms and demigods and sometimes even as sadhus, you know, the advancement has just been, you know, just little, tiny little drops over millions and millions of births. And then as a devotee, one, maybe, you know, one lifetime, if one desires, maybe one or two, one can go back to Godhead. So within the course of, you know, 100 years, one can finish the path of devotional service and go back to it. That's rapid. When you consider that, you know, if you think in the next million years, and I think about that, in a million years, I can make the tiniest little progress or even none. And you compare that, now I'm a devotee, and perhaps within this lifetime I can go back to the spiritual world. That's rapid progress. That's very powerful. So that is the potency of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So no one can, no one can offer any other process that, you know, compares with the process of chanting Hare Krishna. So therefore, you know, as devotees, whether as brahmachari, brahmacharini, grihastha, vanaprastha, or sannyas, the, you know, vow of brahmachari, or brahmacharini, you know, avoiding sex life as much as possible is always good. You know, because it means that one is off the bodily platform. One is more focused on spiritual activities than on bodily activities. Here it describes that, you know, one who takes this powerful vow can dedicate himself to superior Vedic studies. Sometimes we see that, you know, because some devotees, although they're making, you know, it may take them a few lifetimes, but sometimes we can see that even on that path of rapid progress back to the spiritual world, compared to other devotees, they may slow down their advancement to some degree, and therefore you may see that, you know, over the course of devotees may, you know, have been devotees for 10 years or 15 years, and you may find that, you know, perhaps they still haven't read the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, they haven't read all of Krishna's pastimes. Or they haven't read Chaitanya Charitamrita or the Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Hare Krishna. You know, they haven't learned how to, you know, do kirtan very, very nicely. You know, the real art of kirtan, where one is able to focus on the holy name and absorb others in focusing on the holy name with complete attention and with sincere purpose, and really praying to Krishna, you know, please, you deliver me from material existence. That sort of kirtan, not kirtan, which is, you know, just a display of musical ability. I'm not talking about that. You know, the kirtan where, you know, you have kirtan and the potency of that kirtan makes non-devotees into devotees. That sort of kirtan. Not just a display of musical ability or singing ability. Devotees can be around for, 10, 20 years and have not, mastered. Have not, thought about Krishna and all his wonderful pastimes, read the various literatures, had kirtan, performed sankirtan out on the streets, distributed Srila Prabhupada's books, or, had the, pleasure of dressing the deities. We see here, how beautifully the deities are dressed. You can only imagine, how much ecstasy those pujaris are in, even if they're a little overworked while everyone's away. But still, you can see, they when they're dressing Gaura Thai or Jagannath Balaram Subhadra or Sri Radha Vallabha, they're dressing Krishna, the Supreme Lord, and it's very, very relishable. I know, one of my favourite parts when I dress Gaura Thai is the last thing where you put the tulsi leaf and the chandan on their lotus feet, and then you touch your head. It's just like the final, I sort of wait for that bit. But sometimes Jagannath Balava, if he sees that I'm a bit slow, he sort of grabs that plate and he goes up and puts it on. like that. So I always try and be on time so he can't do that to me. I don't know if he does it on purpose anyway, but he does it. I'm a bit slow. But, devotees maybe, after so many years have never had that pleasure because, instead of so much time has been wasted or to travel to the holy dharma and visit all of, the places of Krishna's pastimes and, his Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and, to join in on so many, some devotees, their time is so much, especially, when you see, as I said, without the training and without maintaining the brahmachari principles, even in grihastha life, their time becomes robbed by, by maya. Srila Prabhupada has a poem that he wrote to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura on his appearance day in the presence of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati very much loved this poem. One part of it is that forgotten Krishna, we fallen souls pay most heavy illusions tolls. Yeah. Very nice poem. The difficulty, of course, is that when our mind becomes absorbed and our activities become absorbed in enjoying sex life, material world, we have to pay a toll. Illusions. We see the whole world, even forgetting about the devotees, but you see the whole world, the illusions toll. So much trouble. How much suffering in the world as a result of breaking, not following the laws of God. So much suffering. On every level, people are just being driven to suicide. Everyone is depressed. Everyone is completely in anxiety. They go to the, psychiatrist to sort out their anxiety, and the psychiatrist is in anxiety. Doctors, people are going to the doctors. Everyone is getting ill because of breaking so many, principles against, unnatural living, against the laws of nature. I think amongst doctors there's a huge rate of suicide. Farmers, traditionally, get out in the country, live peacefully out in the, you know, the fields and the trees. There's more suicide amongst farmers, practically, you know. People in the material world are suffering so much. There is no peace for a moment. And if you follow the average person around from morning till night, and even while they're sleeping, there is no peace. There is complete anxiety from the start of life to the finish. So much suffering. That's illusion's toll. And that's the result of illicit activities. But we see even, you know, devotees. Actually, I pulled into a gas station, petrol station, yesterday on my way back, and I saw one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. And I thought, you know, and I don't know so well, but I know a little bit, but I just felt a little sorry, you know, because I know that this person has not really even thought about, you know, maybe just a little bit, you know, the opportunity to serve Srila Prabhupada. So that's his, you know, Srila Prabhupada is his guru. So much service he could do, you know. Even just, it doesn't have to be on a grand scale, just chanting rounds and, you know, just trying to preach the message of Bhagavad Gita. He's not doing any of that. And his whole life, you know, apart from a few years when Prabhupada was here, and then the rest, you know, paying Maya's toll, that all that time has been robbed. Yeah, and what he could have done, you know, in the service of Srila Prabhupada. And you see, it's there are many devotees, and you know, rather than having the you know, opulence, the opportunity, and the freedom to serve Krishna, somehow they're you know, the material energy is placing so many obstacles that it's almost impossible for them to get to the temple and to, you know, and even at home. So now this is illusion's toll. That's the Maya's toll. So one has to be very careful if one wants to absorb oneself. Just like I was reading one letter by one of my god sisters to my spiritual master. And she was, you know, saying that I want you to train me in, you know, Radha Dasi Bhava. You know, I want to be absorbed. I want to know my spiritual identity and be absorbed in, you know, the intimate pastimes of Radha Krishna. You know, rather than these other activities. And of course, my spiritual master wrote this, you know, strong letter, of course, that, you know, you are the last person who will be doing that. Because the qualification is not there. You know, we can't be the servant of Maya and then say, you know, let me be absorbed, you know, in the elevated mellows of, you know, Raga Bhakti. Always absorbed in the mood of the gopis, meditating upon my eternal form. We can't have that. In fact, if we're absorbed in Maya, that's the toll, that's the tax. And that's what you don't get. That's what's taken. Actually, Maya will take everything. It will take absolutely everything. But for a devotee, that is the worst tax. You know, for those who actually, you know, if we follow Krishna's instructions and just, you know, forget the activities and the bodily platform of life and absorb ourselves in Krishna consciousness, then that, you know, toll is lifted, and one, that is the reward, you know, that one can realize one's eternal spiritual identity. Imagine that. You know, you come as a result of sincerely following devotional service, that one day you actually realize, you know, I am, oh, that's who I am in the spiritual world. Ah, yes. You know, imagine how happy we will be when that realization is there. And we should not think that that is something that is, impossible to achieve. Every one of us here can actually, attain that situation. There's one book, I haven't read the book, but Sivaram Goswami was quoting it, Simple for the Simple. And he describes there, I don't know if there's a temple president's wife, and she was revealing to her husband somewhere near the time of death that, this is Krishna has revealed my spiritual form, this is who I am, my favourite service to Krishna is like this. Not that one has to be some, big sannyasi, GBC guru, and then, one. No. All one has to do is chant Hare Krishna, avoid the offences, follow the regular principles, and absorb oneself in Krishna consciousness, and, then that is the guarantee that success. And the worst tax that Maya can give us is to take away that opportunity. And that's what we have to remember. Next time we think of, enjoying, so-called enjoying with Maya, we're paying such a heavy tax, a heavy toll, that it is unquestionable that we would even consider. Who would buy a car if you bought a car and they said, yes, here is, this car has done 500,000 kilometres, like my previous car, it had done 500,000 kilometres. I was going to try and sell it, but it just collapsed, just a couple of weeks, but I would have tried to sell it. But, imagine if I take that car, it's done 500,000 kilometres, worked really hard, a lot of time, on the farm, pulling out boulders and rocks and, so many things, and someone comes, yes, I think I can get some enjoyment out of that. How much? $300,000. Who would make that purchase? So, but Maya is like that. She says, here's 2 seconds of happiness. Oh, what is the price? Or you can stay in the material world for another 100 years. Oh, yes, yeah. So that is Maya's tax, the price. So we have to be very, very careful. So these instructions by Krishna, very valuable for brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. So, any quick questions or comments?
You mentioned that when the government worship, they should not be interested. According to scripture, majority should be, everybody should be in the age of the world.
Yes. Well, if there's two systems, the Vedic system and Pancharatrika. Now, in the Vedic system, the Shudras are not given opportunity. In the Pancharatrika system, even though they're Shudra, they're given opportunity to that if they show the qualities and work in a certain way, being trained, that they can be elevated, to Vaishya, Chatriya, Brahmana, Vaishnava, like that. If they so in Kali Yuga, we don't follow the Vedic system, we follow the Pancharatrika Vedic system. And that is recommended, by the acharyas, because everyone is born sudra, And those who accept that, that means that they take initiation from a spiritual master, and as described by Krishna, they actually serve and dedicate themselves to the spiritual master, then they no longer remain Shudras, but they become, by their qualities and activities, they become elevated. What's that? Yes. As long as there's not too much on the side. Yeah.
Somebody was talking to me the other day, and mentioning that they read this verse from third canto, where the devotee doesn't desire liberation. But whereas the verse also the verse mentions that the devotee would desire any kind of salokya.
Just say that last part again, that if they go to Vaikuntha,
yeah,
even if they attain Santaras,
still there is a passive adoration.
Yeah.
The so, and they cannot enter without coming to the platform of loving devotional service. They cannot enter the realm of Vaikuntha.
Mm.
Then why is it mentioned that devotees don't desire even that kind of Sarupya, Samitya, liberation? Because there is no opportunity for doing devotional service. How can there be no opportunity?
Well, in Vaikuntha, for instance, there is one type of liberation where one has the association of the Lord. So it's not that all spirit souls in Vaikuntha have constant and direct association with Lord Narayan. So they may have salokya. They reside on the same planet as the Lord, and they're liberated from material existence, and they're experiencing the bliss of the spiritual life. So that's salokya, but they... And they may even have the in Vaikuntha they do have a similar form as the Lord, where the strength of the mood of service to the Lord is not as strong, then they may not have as direct and constant association with the Lord. So they're serving the Lord in Vaikuntha, but not with as much direct and personal association. Those who have that particular type of liberation, the association of the Lord, what do they call that one? There's a stronger degree of attachment to the Lord. In Krishna Loka, the degree of attachment to the Lord is such that they can barely the mood of separation from the Lord, even if there's a moment that they do not see the Lord or not directly serving him. Their attachment, their love is so thick and strong that that becomes unbearable for them, and to fulfill their desires, Krishna awards them that constant association and personal service. So there are different degrees of accessibility and closeness to the Lord even in the spiritual world. The topmost, of course, is Krishna Loka. A devotee of Krishna who goes to Vaikuntha and couldn't serve Krishna, now, even if he's in the presence of Narayan, would certainly not want to accept that liberation of going to Vaikuntha. Many of those liberations in a general sense refer to going to Vaikuntha. So, you know, we have Salokya, attaining the same planet, Samipya, same opulence, Sarupya, same form, and Shasti, association. I think I may have mixed them up a bit, but that's close enough. Generally those forms of liberation refer to going to Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha Loka. they're a liberation. The fifth goal of life is beyond those four types of liberation, which is considered love of God. Now, certainly within Vaikuntha, love of God is there. You know, in the mood of at least neutrality and servitorship in awe and reverence. But, you know, real love begins with intimacy. And, you know, where that, and that real love and intimacy really begins in Goloka Vrindavan, where Goloka Vrindavan, where one can serve the Lord, and the mood of awe and reverence is, you know, not present, and the mood of intimacy or love and affection, you know, becomes prominent. So, you know, there's sort of the mood that I don't want to go to Vaikuntha and achieve any of those types of liberation, and certainly be serving the Lord, you know, in the beginning stages of love, but very much crippled by awe and reverence. So the fifth goal of life, they actually want to taste love without the crippling effect. So, and actually they want to taste love itself, Premapumatan, and that is really fully accessible in Goloka Vrindavan. So they don't want to, so therefore they don't want to accept any type of circumstances or situation where reciprocating with the Lord in that intimate love is not available or somehow crippled. So there's that mood there as well.
Is there a function of one's desire or constitutional
position? Well, we all have our original constitutional position. Over and above that, Srila Prabhupada states in the Nectar Devotion, I think it's chapter 4, that, you know, one can make, you know, elevate oneself to Krishna Loka even from Vaikuntha. You know, one is still advancing on the platform of, you know, love of God even from Vaikuntha. So it's not that if, you know, one attains Vaikuntha that one can never think of actually going to you know, Krishna Loka. It is possible. Generally, the, you know, spirit souls are completely satisfied in their situation where they are. But if the desire is there that, you know, let me you know, go further and to Krishna Loka and taste that sort of pure love and intimacy, then that's available even to the residents of Vaikuntha.
Okay.
Even Narayan and Lakshmi actually appreciate and aspire to taste that, what to speak of other residents that they may, you know. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is actually giving that opportunity. That whatever our constitutional position, we've fallen, and by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can at least, you know, attain whatever situation is our constitutional position. But actually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that you can reside eternally in Krishna Loka and serve Him in pure love, you know, free from any crippling effect of other different aspirations for liberation or conceptions of God, what have you. So that opportunity is there. But even to develop that desire, one must, as described here, absorb oneself in the superior study of Vedic literature. Very, very confidential. You know, it takes, one has to go through Bhagavad Gita very scrutinizingly. One has to go through Srimad Bhagavatam very, very carefully. Chaitanya Charitamrita, studying all the, you know, various purports by Srila Prabhupada and the various acharyas, and meditating upon these, and by that constant absorption, and finally, you know, it one understanding, you know, is that available in Krishna Loka? I finally understand what Krishna is, you know, giving. It is, it makes even what is there in Vaikuntha seem like nothing. Is that, you know, so it, but it takes, otherwise, you know, and even in the course of a lifetime as a devotee, as I say, it doesn't even dawn on devotees. You know, they can, their mind is, you know, absorbed in so many things, even as devotees. But if a devotee absorbs himself by being free from the, you know, paying the toll of illusion, by being absorbed in Maya and their time being taken away even as a devotee, and they absorb themselves in these literatures and the teachings of the Guru, then they will develop this desire. Yes, I want to go to Goloka Vrindavan, and I'm going in this lifetime. And when that's there, then Lord Chaitanya says, then I will give you that. If you want it. If we don't want it, then we won't get it. So it's a matter of if we desire it, Lord Chaitanya will give it. We cannot say that God cannot, God is somehow restricted, and that somehow or another, some living entity, you know, God just can't drag him out of Vaikuntha, you know, or he's stuck there. Even God can't get him out of there and get him into Krishna Loka. He wants to go, you know, I've done my best. You just have to stay. Lord Chaitanya is the most magnanimous, he is the Supreme Personality of God. If you want to go to Goloka Vrindavan, have that desire and he'll get you there. Okay. All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Yes.